This is the third part. It's the second reading. This is from 2 Corinthians 5, 17 to 21. I'm going to get the Bible open in case I have time to set the context. You know, Paul loves the Corinthians. He wrote two letters to them. He wrote two to the Thessalonians because that was one of the earliest communities he evangelized. Corinthians were an unruly lot, and he knew that. But he shared the Lord's heart for them. So he wrote these letters to tell them, you got to cut out that stuff and live the Christian life. And this is a spot when he's saying that. But it's because of the last words of our reading that we see why the church has picked this. You see, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. You see, the old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. That's what happens when we're in Christ. We're new, brand new. And if we're new, then we can sing a new song to the Lord. That's what it means. You know, sing to the Lord a new song. Well, we got to be new to sing a new song. And the newness is the grace of Christ changing us every day. See, if we're fasting from pleasure, from self-centeredness, from comfort, I don't mean so that you're going nuts all day. I just mean you're trying as far as possible to stop yourself from becoming the center of the universe. I'll give you an example. Suppose you're in a shipwreck. Here you are on the ocean. There's only one thing on your mind, finding something to hang on to so you don't sink. So you're very self-centered. And you find a plank, and it's big, so you give the other half to somebody else. Now, it's reasonable in a shipwreck mode to be doing that. But many people live their whole life in a shipwreck mode. It's always shipwreck. Me. I got to get a plank. I got to get something. Whatever it is. I need a new coat. I need new food. I need a new car. I need more people to like me. Whatever. You see? And that's when we're taking everything in the world and eating it. And part of it is, you know, then food. That's the reason for fasting, okay? So a new creature. The old things have passed away, that whole other way of life. Gosh, if you want to know what it looks like, turn on the television. That's the old way of life. I mean, as I've mentioned before, you know, when I go to the gym, if I can't get any place else, I'm on one of those treadmills, which is right in front of a TV, and it's just, there's no sound on. It's just you know, subtitles. But it's the whole plot every day is who's committing adultery with whom. Now that's, you know, totally unreal. That's not life. And so that's, you see, that's the old things that have to pass away so that new things have come. Now all these new things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Tell the world about this. And it happens. If you're preaching on the streets, and you're starting to talk about reconciliation, the Holy Spirit is touching some lives, and you will see a change in their face. I can be reconciled to God after all I've done? Yes. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why. And so that's what he's saying, see? If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That us in the second part may not be everybody have the ministry, but everybody has the duty of trying to reconcile people. But some, that's their whole ministry. To tell people God's offer of reconciliation. God takes the initiative. That's what he has done already on the cross. He's taken the initiative. And so this line is saying, see, God reconciled us to himself. Usually we speak about reconciliation. Well, Joe makes up to Peter, and Peter makes up to Joe. Not in this case. God takes the initiative. God changes our heart. God brings us back. And that's why we're reconciled to God. He reconciled us to himself through Christ. And then gave us, this time to Paul, but all of us, the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. God is the one seeking reconciliation. God didn't do anything wrong. We're the ones who need the reconciliation. You see? God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Go tell everybody. You know, in the right context, besides confession, but your sins are forgiven. Oh. If you're in a group, there's a lot of laughing, ha 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 ha, a lot of drinking, you know they're all guilty. That's funny, kind of shallow, laugh, 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 joke, 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 some of them a little off color, and whiskey, 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 or whatever. Why? Because they're tortured in the depth of their being. That's why. They're sinning, and they know they're sinning. I'll show you another psalm. Psalm 32, I'm right there. Psalm 32. Asherei, which is the word for blessing. You see, blessed is the man whose sin has been lifted off, whose twistedness has been covered over. Blessed the man to whom the Lord does not impute sin, and in whose spirit there is no rumiyah, forked tongue, dissimulation. Guile, that's the word I'm looking for. You see, we're all liars. We all walk around real nice, but we're liars. Only the person without guile. Therefore, only the person who knows they're forgiven. We walk around protecting ourselves. You see? Because we don't know we're forgiven. Sometimes because we never asked for it. See, Barwe Asherei. The one whose pisha, whose sin has been lifted off, whose rebellion has been covered over. Blessed the man to whom the Lord does not impute sin, and in whose spirit there is no guile. You see how the last one is the symptom that the first three have taken place. So the man goes on saying, you see, I got sick, and I was in terrible shape until finally I confessed my sins to the Lord, and now I'm fine. And you lifted off the weight from me there. This is what this whole liturgy is about. Reconciliation. Accepting forgiveness from God. Oh, he'll never forgive me. Look, he's advertising. It's not a secret. You know, like you gotta get in on it and buy the right lottery ticket or something. He's advertising all over the Bible, I want to forgive you. And that's what he's saying here, you see. Therefore we, Paul, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. God making an appeal? Suppose we say no. What does he lose? Nothing. Except us. And that's only a loss because he loves us. And so, you see, God is making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Well, how do we get reconciled to God? We go back and say, I'm sorry. I really repent. I don't want to do that anymore. And that's why this, you see, as we're in this Sunday in Lent, you see, this fourth Sunday, well, folks, if you haven't gone to confession yet, start. Assess your life. Acknowledge your sin. Receive forgiveness. And when that happens, if you abide in that state, you'll no longer be a liar. You won't always be trying to say you're happy and whatever, you know. You'll know. There'll be no guile in your spirit. Guilelessness is the sign of forgiveness. And that's what this psalm is celebrating, you see. And then, the psalm I'm quoting, and that's what Paul is doing. You see, he who knew no sin, he made to be sin on our behalf. Can you imagine? Now, the word is sin, no doubt about that. Armatia. Now, he could make sacrifice for sin. But Jesus was God himself, the Son of God, became identified with sin. And so, all the punishment fell on him. And that happened, you see, so that we might become the righteousness of God. Imagine that, the justice of God. I can walk around with the justice of God because Jesus died for all my sins. You know, it's like if you're walking down the street and a guy says, "Shh, come over here. I want to give you this $5,000. You'd say, what's the deal? Did you just steal it? What do you want from me? You know, we'd just be suspicious. When God says, "I forgive you all your sins," you say, there's a hook here somewhere. You know, I got to do a lot of penance. I got to do something. No, first you're forgiven. Then out of gratitude, you do penance. You do want to make it up, not just for yourself, but for so many other people who through you can be touched by the grace of reconciliation. That's why, in one way, every Christian is an ambassador for Christ, as Paul says here. You see, we are reconciled, you see, and we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were making an appeal through us. You see how important it is? And you know, sometimes it's not the whole story. It's just a smile, a kindness, a treating of somebody with dignity. And they understand I'm worth something. I can be forgiven. And that's what this reading is all about, you see? And it's setting the stage for the gospel, which we'll be looking at in just a moment now. Which is of the prodigal son. If there was ever a guy who should have said, "I've had it. I took my father's money, I blew it all on booze and prostitutes, I'm down here feeding pigs, and I'm a Jew and I'm feeding pigs, and I'm going to go home, and my father's going to say, 'Well, you deserve all that. I'll go about and feed some more pigs.'" There's enough of a self-knowledge and enough shred. I'm going to go back, not as a son, but as a hired hand. Now, a hired hand is not even a servant, but we'll be there in a moment.